Another health insurance mandate that state lawmakers are considering would require private health insurers to cover up to 30 days of addiction treatment. Now, as part of the federal Medicaid waiver that the Baker administration filed this year, some public health insurance carriers would be required to cover up to 30 days, but some commercial insurers are making similar arguments as they are in the Lyme disease debate. They, along with several business groups, say there is no evidence that 30 days works. Plus, they say that the state just implemented a requirement that patients get up to 14 days of addiction treatment coverage. The bill's supporters are accusing the insurers of putting costs ahead of patient care. To get a better understanding of this, we sat down with Laura Pellegrini, who's president of the Massachusetts Association of Health Plans, and State Senator John Keenan, who started us off by explaining why he co-sponsored this bill.
What prompted it is that we continue to hear that there is a shortage of beds. People who are seeking treatment may be able to get into detox. They may be able to get into the next level of treatment, which is step down. But they're having difficulty beyond that because they're just on beds. And so we think that it is appropriate for private insurers who collect premiums from individuals to cover up to 30 days as deemed medically necessary.
Now, we should say that last year, a law went into effect in Massachusetts requiring up to 14 days. So now it would be up to 30. Why extend the 14 to the 30?
Well, 30 days is kind of a critical point in the continuum of early care. People kind of take a moment and determine with the clinician what's the next step.
Laura Pellegrini, you are among those who wrote to Governor Baker and other state house leaders about this bill. A group of about a dozen insurers wrote one letter expressing concerns, and a group of business leaders joined together and outlined their concerns. Now, both letters cite similar issues, but let's start generally. What do you think is maybe the main concern or objection from both groups to this legislation?
ACM's criteria, which is the national criteria for opiate and substance abuse, talks about taking each patient individually. Hmm. It doesn't say anything about inpatient treatment. And more, what the experts are saying, and we have Dr. Wakeman at Mass General recently had a report that she issued, medication-assisted treatment is proving to be the most effective. That is outpatient treatment using methadone, Suboxone, or Vivitrol. The most effective in treating folks with opiate addiction, more so than any behavioral treatment that may be done on an inpatient basis. Today, 60% of our market is what is known as self-insured. So the state legislature has no authority over what those folks cover.
But if you were a self-insured person, are you saying that that self-insurer does not have to follow state law?
No. We care about these issues. But if you're talking about a need for beds and you're suggesting that 40% of the market should pay for those beds, I think that's the wrong medicine. I think we need to have a broader public conversation about treatment and bed use. There's also a debate about whether we need more beds. There are a lot of issues here.
Right. I first want to let Senator Keenan respond to the fact that you're saying that 40% of the marketplace would be funding this particular mandate if it went through because of the way self-insurance works. Have you looked at that, Senator?
I have, and I respectfully disagree. The 40% would be covering the 40%. They would be covering those whom they insure. They would not be covering those whom they do not insure. And I'm not willing to write off 40% of the insured population by saying that they should not be covered by their health insurance. As far as funding overall, the state provides the vast majority of funding for substance use disorder treatment right now. Presently, about 75% of the treatment is covered by public dollars for individuals who have not been able to get that coverage from the private insurers. So the public side is doing an awful lot. The larger self-insurers are doing whatever they will do, and I understand that that's outside of what we may be able to impact. But for that 40%, I firmly believe that that 40% of people who pay their premiums deserve to have coverage for the premiums that they pay. And as far as cost, the Center for Health Information Analysis, CHEA, looked at the cost and determined that on a per-policy basis, it is 60 cents per year.
Increase in premiums per year.
And that's on the high side.
If there's a 30-day mandate?
Yes.
Okay.
We took some issue with the CHEA analysis, and what we were told at the time is they felt that there there was not bed capacity to put these folks in, so therefore the mandate wouldn't be used. But we know that there are many more beds coming online, and I think an unintended consequence of this, and I think it was actually reported by WBUR, is that we're actually seeing some venture capitalists coming into Massachusetts and actually looking to site several hundred beds in Massachusetts for opiate addiction, and they're not taking Medicaid insurance. Yet we know that 75% of the population that's afflicted with opiate addiction are Medicaid eligible folks.
To say that 75% of those who suffer with addiction are covered by MassHealth, well, there's still 25% who are not. The idea is to spread the costs as evenly as you possibly can across as wide a base as possible. And we're doing what we can on the public side. I think it's time for the insurers to do what should be done on their side, even if it's only for the 40% or even if it's for the 25% who are not MassHealth covered.
One of the things that I read in these letters where concerns were expressed about this legislation was that the authors of the letters did not seem to think that there was enough evidence behind a time frame of 30 days. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Medication-assisted treatment is what the experts believe has the highest rate of success. Again, evidence-based practice. We want to look at what's working. I think families, and this actually happened in our family about 5 years ago, and I wish I knew what I knew today. I think families want to get their kids well. And I think because we've grown up in a culture where for alcoholism you send somebody away, the Betty Ford Center, 30 days, they think the right treatment is sending someone away, when in fact the best treatment may be counseling and medication-assisted treatment.
You know, there may be some people who think, well, insurers often pay for, say, cancer treatments that are very expensive, and maybe they haven't been proven to be 100% effective in all cases. Is there something different going on here? Because talking about
substance
use treatment.
Absolutely not. We are covering evidence-based treatments. We don't really cover clinical trials unless they're in the final phases of clinical trials on the physical side. But what we're starting to see in data, and I know, again, another unintended consequence, is we're starting to see in data that we're seeing readmissions by folks with opiate addiction, and then difficulty getting other folks placed into beds who need to be in beds.
So let me just make sure that I have that clear. Since the 14-day mandate went into effect in October, what you say you're seeing, at least anecdotally, the early sort of numbers suggest that there are an increasing number of readmissions and an increasing incidence of access being impeded because folks who may need beds are not getting them because people who may be ready for a less intensive method of service are not being moved
out.
I just want to make sure.
And my response to that would be we leave it to the clinician, the trained expert, to make the determination. And what's happening, and I'll say it anecdotally as well, to match anecdote with anecdote, what's happening is those trained clinicians are recognizing that people need more than 14 days of treatment, and they do not want to release them at that point. So they will keep them 1, 2, or 3 days longer. One size doesn't fit all, and I don't think we should foreclose that inpatient treatment for up to 30 days. It works best for some people.
Mm-hmm. And so 30 days, I think, was just pulled out of the hat. So in our own personal story 5 years ago, we had a family member who they didn't really tell anyone, but the family paid twice out of pocket for him to go to California to be treated. He failed. It cost the family $60,000. Unfortunately, they were thinking of it not as a chronic disease. He lost everything. He lost his job, his wife, his home. If they knew what I know about the statistics, they would have tried medication-assisted treatment. They would have at least tried that, maybe after the first go-around.
This was a personal family member of yours?
Yes. Today, I think that he is getting appropriate treatment and he's doing much better. But I think there's a reliance. Again, if you have a family member who you find out is opiate addicted, using heroin, I think the first instinct is to get them far away where they can be safe.
And so we have a core group of people for whom medication-assisted treatment is not appropriate, where residential treatment is appropriate, and yet there is not insurance coverage for that. It seems that there is a push to make a maintenance drug the immediate default. And I'm just saying that there's got to be a balance. That may be appropriate for some people. It may not be appropriate for others. Insurance companies want to pay for one because it costs a lot less, than what the other one does.
Can't disagree more. I've worked in this industry for 15 years, and I see, I represent mostly local plans that have cared very, very much for the patients and the members of their health plan. We have high member satisfaction. We're not doing this because it costs less. We're advocating for what we know can be effective. People who signed the letter, we had 17, I believe, physicians who signed that letter. Many of them have spent years in addiction medicine. We want people to get well.
The way the legislation is written is that when a person is in an inpatient facility within 2 days, that information, the fact that the person is in the facility would be sent to the insurance companies, and the insurance companies would also be provided with a copy of the discharge plan, and there's nothing
We're not getting it.
No, that is how it's written.
But we're not.
That is how it's written.
But we're not getting it.
For the 30-day bill, because it's not, it hasn't passed yet.
I would say that this bill is unprecedented. There are millions of bills that have passed, right, that affect health insurance. No legislation has taken the insurance company completely out of the equation.
All right. Well, we're going to have to end it on that. I know that we could continue to go here. I think we do have one agreement. The substance use treatment system needs work, and maybe that would help all the way around. But I want to thank both of you for coming in. Senator John Keenan, whose district includes Quincy and other communities south of Boston. He's also vice chair of a special Senate committee on opioid addiction. Thank you very much. Also, Laura Pellegrini, president and CEO of the Massachusetts Association of Health Plans. Thanks to you.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, we speak with State Attorney General Maura Healey. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.